No music tonight.
Acapella.
You're gonna have to listen to me tonight. That's it. It's gonna be a long old night. Nope. But I will lead us in prayer. So let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, Lord, you are so good to us, and we thank you for that. Thank you for the blessings that you pour upon us day after day, the provision that fits our needs so perfectly, the love that you gave us and poured out on the cross so many years ago, and our sins poured upon him so that we could have salvation. We thank you for that. Thank you for the time that we have tonight to look into your word, to look in particular at just spiritual gifts, the power of you in us through your spirit, and just the grand privilege and responsibility that we have to exercise those gifts that you have so graciously given to us. I pray, Lord, that as we learn about them and what they are, Lord, that you would just use us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, last week we began looking at the doctrine of spiritual gifts, and we noted that the doctrines or the teachings about spiritual gifts is closely connected to the teachings of the Holy Spirit or the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. How or why is spiritual gifts related to the Holy Spirit? Okay. He's the one that gives them. While 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the passages we looked at last week, tells us that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all instrumental in the exercising of our gifts, the Holy Spirit is the key person of the Godhead in the distribution of those gifts to believers. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." All right, so what is a spiritual gift? All right. All right, couple of you. There you go. Good, I drilled it right into your heads. A divine enabling to excel at a spiritual activity, exactly. How are spiritual gifts different from talents? Okay, everybody has a talent. Who has spiritual gifts, Bonnie?
Just
believers. Okay, that's one difference. What's another one? Okay, spiritual gifts come from God. Talents can come naturally, right? What else? Okay, there are a limited number of spiritual gifts. Talents are many. Talents are many. One thing that I do want to add just to that I didn't mention last week, and I think it's important for us to know this, one similarity between spiritual gifts and talents is both can be honed. Okay? In other words, just like talents can be practiced and we can get better at them, spiritual gifts can as well. The more we exercise our spiritual gifts, the more effective we can be with them. Okay? Just a little side note there. There is one similarity. Does every believer have a spiritual gift? Yes. Okay, at least one. What is the purpose of a spiritual gift? Okay, edifying the body of Christ. We're going to look at a passage that talks about that in a minute, but there was one other segment from 1 Corinthians 12 that I mentioned. Okay, glorifying God. It's actually for the profit of all. For the profit of all. And that goes right hand in hand with edifying the body of Christ. But it's for the profit of all. What are the spiritual gifts that we listed? All 14. All right. That's good. That's how many I had. Exactly. All right. 14 of them. Name a couple. Shout them out. Those are all fruits of the Spirit. They're not spiritual gifts. Okay. All right. Perfect. Perfect. I heard them all. All right. Yeah, they're listed, if you're interested, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. Easy to remember because they're both chapter 12. All right, but anyway. Tonight I want to quickly look at one more passage that I didn't get to last week. And just a few more spiritual gifts in just a minute that are listed in Scripture. But the passage that we didn't get to last week is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So go ahead and turn there. And I just want to point out a distinction and an application there. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we mentioned that passage last week. Obviously, we looked at some of the gifts that are listed here, but what I didn't get to talk about was who is the he in verse 11? And he himself,
the Holy Spirit.
It's actually talking about Jesus. It's actually talking about Jesus. And here's the distinction that I want to point out. While we have spiritual gifts listed here, and it is the Holy Spirit who distributes spiritual gifts to each believer, it is Jesus who then takes gifted individuals, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, okay? And he places them where he wants them for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 is more describing the gifted people than it is the gifts themselves. And we are told here that Jesus places these gifted people where he wants them for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, you and I have not only been gifted by the Holy Spirit with a spiritual gift, but we have been placed where we are right now to exercise that gift. And we've been placed here by Jesus Christ. So, I am asking you, if you don't already know what your function is in the church, discover it and use it. Exercise it, because we need you. You have been placed here for a reason. So again, Ephesians 4 does list some gifts and really the offices that are associated with those gifts, but the thrust of the passage describes the fact that Jesus places gifted believers in local churches to fulfill a needed function. With that, now I want to turn to the remainder of our list of spiritual gifts. We have actually five more gifts that I want to look at. And they are all qualified as sign gifts. Numerous places in Scripture, it is noted that these particular gifts are for a sign. All right? A sign of what? Well, they are a sign, or they are signs that accompany new revelation from God in order to authenticate that it is indeed from God. That's what these sign gifts were given for. As God revealed something new to man, he would enable men and women with these sign gifts to authenticate the message that they were bringing from God. Here's a new message from God, and here is proof that it is indeed from God. Now, before we actually look at these gifts, I need to give you some preliminary information. Some of it's review, some of it's new. We noted that a spiritual gift is a divine enabling to excel at a spiritual activity. Well, a sign gift is a spiritual gift, but the activity is authenticating new revelation from God. Here's the definition. A sign gift is the divine enabling to authenticate new revelation from God. A divine enabling to authenticate new revelation from God. And since a sign gift is that, we need to define what biblical revelation is, don't we? This is important because the word revelation is used very, very freely in the church, perhaps more freely than it should be used in the church. There's a song by a popular contemporary band, and one of the lines is, "Give me revelation. Oh my goodness, tell me what to do." Something along those lines. All right, but anyway, my point is, I need to define what biblical revelation is. Biblical revelation is, here it is, all right, God revealing to man what man could not otherwise know. God revealing to man what man could not otherwise know. Man could not know about heaven except God tell him. That's a revelation from God. Everything that we know about heaven, we received because God revealed it to us. That's revelation. A sign gift is a divine enabling to authenticate new revelation from God. It is a supernatural ability to prove that what is being said is actually from God. Now, that being said, I do not believe that sign gifts from God exist today. I do not believe that sign gifts from God exist today because the New Testament claims and proves to be the completed revelation from God in this age. And there is no need to authenticate what has already been authenticated. Are you following me? Okay. A sign gift is a divine enabling to authenticate new revelation from God. Also, because these gifts fall under the miraculous, it is important that we note a few things that the Bible has to say about miracles and the supernatural. First of all, the Bible tells us that there are two sources of supernatural. What are they? God and Satan. That's it. God and Satan. The Bible also says that Satan is a deceiver. He will deceive by trying to mimic what God does in order to distract from the truth of what God says. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10, it says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders with all unrighteous deception." So, there are two sources of the supernatural. Satan is a deceiver. So thirdly, we as God's children have a right and an obligation to test the miraculous as to whether it comes from God or Satan. So all of that to say, I believe that sign gifts existed and were real and actual gifts that men and women exercised as new revelation from God was given. namely the New Testament. But since God's revelation is complete, those who claim to have these gifts now have either deceived themselves or are under the influence of Satan and his deception. Because Satan will use the supernatural to keep believers useless and to repel others from becoming a believer. We have an obligation to test the miraculous as to whether it comes from God or not, especially when it comes to modern trends in the church that could change the way the church functions and the way the world views the church. I want to read you an article. This is an article from was published back in 1999, actually. And I think it'll illustrate my point. It's from a publication called Think on These Things, and the name of the publication is actually taken from Philippians 4:8. But the article is from October of 1999, and it concerns what has been called the Toronto Blessing. Has anybody heard of the Toronto Blessing? Okay, a couple of you have. It describes this article describes some of the people that were involved in this, some of the things that happened at this function, but it describes a real supernatural event in which many claimed to be exercising sign gifts. But I want you to discern if this sounds like it is from God or elsewhere. All right, here's the article. In fact, just a passage to keep in mind as I read this is 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Here's what happened at the Toronto Blessing. The Toronto Blessing. It says something happened on January 10th, 1994, at a Vineyard church near the Pearson International Airport in Toronto. It was unique in the history of Christianity. The claims of a laughing revival received its energy at this function, if not its origin at this function. Supporters say that on this occasion, the Holy Spirit was poured out on a small congregation, resulting in spontaneous, uncontrollable laughter. Thus began a revival that continues to this day and has impacted churches throughout the world. Hundreds of thousands of visitors, including thousands of pastors, have attended the services at the Toronto Airport Vineyard, now called Airport Christian Fellowship, in hopes of catching and transporting the spirit of this revival. And it seems to be working. Churches across the globe are claiming similar experience, which in addition to holy laughter, included shaking, making animal noises, swooning, and being stuck in Holy Ghost glue. Rodney Howard Brown, a South African minister associated with the Word of Faith movement, is a recognized father of holy laughter. He claims to have had his first experience with this phenomenon in 1979 while challenging God to touch me, or else I'm going to come up there and touch you. God apparently responded by causing him to feel as if his body was on fire, and he broke out in uncontrollable laughter. In 1989, while preaching in New York State, his congregation fell under the same power. Soon, Howard Brown began influencing others, but on a small scale. Then, while preaching at Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida in 1993, laughter in the Spirit once again broke out, bringing Howard Brown out of obscurity. One of his disciples was Pastor Randy Clark from St. Louis, Missouri. It was Clark who had already experienced strange phenomena in his church, who preached the revival sermon in Toronto that ignited the whole movement. The revival has since spread like wildfire, especially in vineyard and charismatic churches, and in recent years has penetrated all kinds of denominations. Howard Brown, who continues to be a leader in this movement, calls himself a Holy Ghost bartender who dispenses the new wine of joy that leads people to being drunk in the Spirit. He claims to find the biblical base for his teaching in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. But careful, and it wouldn't even have to be too careful a study of that text, does not reveal anything like that happening. The apostles were not laughing uncontrollably. They were not barking like dogs. They were not stuck on the floor in Holy Ghost glue. They were not being slain in the Spirit. They simply preached the gospel, and their listeners heard it. One of Howard Brown's books has a section titled Holy Ghost Glue. And in it, he recounts a story of a wealthy woman who got stuck in the Spirit, as Howard tells it. He says she was lying there from noon till about 1:30, stuck on the floor. And at 1:30, she tried to get up, but she couldn't. All she could do was flap her hands. So she was lying there flapping away. This is a quote from his book, by the way. Flap, 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 flap. 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, and at 4:30, the woman was still saying, I can't get up, I'm stuck to the floor. She flapped so long that, as Howard Brown put it, he ended up walking out on the Holy Spirit. He said, I turned to the pastor and I said, look, I haven't had breakfast or lunch. It's 4:30. I'm not stuck. You're not stuck. These people are going to stay here with her, so let's go have a meal before the night service. The ushers told us later that at 6 o'clock, the woman finally peeled herself off the carpet. Then it took her an hour to crawl from the center of the church auditorium to a side wall. She had been stuck on the floor for 6 hours. When Randy Clark preached at the Airport Vineyard, the pastor claimed that almost 80% of the people were on the floor. It was like an explosion. We saw people literally being knocked off their feet by the Spirit of God. Others shook and jerked. Some danced. Some laughed. Some lay on the floor as if dead for hours. People cried and shouted. Jim Riley, Vineyard pastor and Promise Keeper board member, is on the cutting edge of the current charismatic revivals. He claims to be a prophet who serves as a good example of today's claims of extra-biblical revelations. He said he once dreamed that he was literally inside the Lord. And from the vantage point of seeing through the eyes of Jesus, he was enabled to unravel myriad mysteries for the people of God. A classic case in point, God revealed to Riley his purpose for placing special anointing anointing of music upon the Beatles, despite the fact that none of them were committed to Christ. As the Almighty allegedly articulated, it was my purpose to bring forth through music a worldwide revival that could usher in the move of the Holy Spirit in bringing men and women to Christ. That's why I anointed the Beatles, because the Beatles used their anointing, however, for Satan's kingdom instead. Riley says the Lord lifted his anointing. I'm not reading the whole article.
It's very Pentecostal.
A delightful woman came to Toronto from Europe. She came from an extremely theological and intellectual background. Too much thinking, she said. While under God's power, she had a vision. Much to her surprise, Jesus took her through events of her childhood, and they relived them together. This woman used to play soccer, and Jesus told her gently that she took the glory for herself. So she wept and repented, and they played soccer together, her and Jesus. She laughed and laughed at his long robe and then asked him to be the goalkeeper, and he was so strong he knocked all the balls away. But then he let her have a goal, and she laughs some more. This is near the end of the article now, and it's a long article. I'm just reading you bits and pieces. He goes on, it's almost impossible to keep up with the bizarre claims coming out of Toronto. Lately, the church is claiming that many of their meetings, both at home and in South Africa, are receiving gold fillings in their teeth. Not by the dentist. They're just magically appearing.
Is this a black church?
I don't know. Perhaps, he ends here, he says, perhaps a quote by Howard Rodney Brown might help us understand how and why Christians can be so gullible. He said, I'd rather be in a church where the devil and the flesh are manifesting than in a church where nothing is happening.
Now, that article was written in
90-something? 1999. It's an older article, yeah.
Yeah, is that still a movement? I remember hearing about it.
Well, the remnants of it are still around. You don't have to look too far to see it. Yeah.
Pentecostals still talk about being slain in the spirit.
Right. Let me make some distinctions here for us. Keep in mind, all right, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says God is not the author of confusion, all right, but of peace. So we, as his children, have a right and an obligation to test the supernatural as to whether it's coming from God or Satan. And in order to do that, we must know what these sign gifts really were. Now, I want you to know, I'm not disputing the fact that these sign gifts existed. But they served a purpose, and it was to authenticate what God was giving in the New Testament. Okay? That's what they were for. What's that?
Could this all be happening in the church of satanic gifts? I mean, the fact that these things are happening, but they could be Satan operating.
I think they could be. I will just tell you this. I believe 99, maybe in the high 90s someplace. 95 to 99% of it is just deceit. It is just humans deceiving other humans. But when you read something like this, where a woman is stuck to the floor, that's supernatural. That's supernatural. Yeah, it could be hypnotism, for sure. But anyway, my point is the gifts we're going to look at, these are real gifts that existed to authenticate what God revealed to man, okay? The first gift, there are five of them, and Lord willing, we're going to make it through three of them tonight. And the first gift that I want to look at is the gift of prophecy. Now, I know we mentioned this last week as well, okay? But there are two kinds of prophecy in Scripture. One is the forth-telling kind, and that's what we talked about last week. It is just a person proclaiming God's Word. It is forth-telling, okay? As you and I teach or proclaim the Word of God, the Bible, that's a form of prophesying. That's a form of prophesying. But there is also a foretelling kind of prophecy, which is the prediction of the future and the speaking of new revelation from God. The predicting of the future, in fact, I'll give you a short definition for it. But that's the sign gift of prophecy, and here's the definition. The sign gift of prophecy is the supernatural ability to reveal new words from God. The supernatural ability to reveal new words from God. And this gift was for the purpose of giving us God's word in recorded form. I want you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I just want to read to you verses 19 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, it says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Again, the sign gift of prophecy is the supernatural ability to reveal new words from God. And the purpose was giving God's word to man in recorded form. Therefore, I do not believe that the sign gift of prophecy exists today. And I want to give you just two quick reasons, and they kind of reiterate what we talked about concerning the definition of revelation. But here are two reasons why I don't believe the sign gift of prophecy exists today. Number one, the Bible says it is man's final authority on faith and practice. The Bible says it is man's final authority on faith and practice. That passage that we just read, 2 Timothy 1, 19 through 21, tells us that what was given as the final authority for the believer. It says, we have the prophetic word made sure, or confirmed, complete. So that means, and here's the part where I think a lot of people get confused, okay? If any so-called prophet or any person that claims to have the sign gift of prophecy, okay, and this is since the completion of the Bible, gives a prophecy or revelation that is the same as or agrees with what God has already given, then it's not the sign gift of prophecy. Do you understand? Because it's already been given. It's already been given. Now, here's the other half of this. Well, let me just repeat that. So if any so-called prophet gives a prophecy or revelation that is the same as what God has already spoken, then it's not the sign gift of prophecy. But I tell you that to tell you this. If any so-called prophet gives a prophecy or revelation that is different than what God has already given in His Word, don't believe that prophet, for he is not a prophet from God. The Bible says it is man's final authority on faith and practice. In fact, if we go all the way back into the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, they gave the people of Israel a test that they could give prophets, basically, to determine whether they are from God or not. I'll just read it to you. It's from chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken." That's right. Two verses earlier, in verse 20, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name," so this is God speaking, "the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." God takes this very seriously. Very seriously. The Bible, what God has revealed to us through His prophets that authenticated their message, okay? It is the final authority on faith and practice. The second reason I don't believe that the sign gift of prophecy exists today is the book of Revelation gives the completed revelation for this age. The book of Revelation gives the completed revelation for this age. God has revealed everything He needed to reveal to man in this age. And the book of Revelation even ends warning the person who dares add to it or take away from it, saying that his name will be removed from the book of life if he does. If the sign gift of prophecy still exists today, that means that we could expect to receive new revelation at any time. And this book is not an authority anymore. It's worthless. And that is why God is so serious about this. The actual gift, the actual spiritual gift, as described in the Bible, is the supernatural ability to reveal, not remove, that you'll get erased from the book of life if you do that, okay? To reveal new words from God. And upon the completion of the New Testament, revelation was complete for this age. Now, how could real prophets be discerned? Well, one way was what I just mentioned, what Deuteronomy said, all right? It will come to pass. It will come to pass. And if it doesn't, he's a fake. But along with that, their new message could be accompanied with other sign gifts as well, like the gift of miracles. The sign gift of miracles is the next one that I want to look at. As we walk our way through the Bible, as we walk our way through the history that is recorded there, every time that God gave man new revelation, and only when God gave man new revelation, it was accompanied by miraculous works. Works to authenticate the message that was being given was indeed from God. Moses did miracles prior to giving the commandments. Elijah and Elisha did miracles and spoke of Israel's future. The apostles did miracles as the New Testament was given. And for the same reasons as above, I do not believe the spiritual gift of miracles exists today. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that God does miracles today. I believe he even does them through people sometimes. We talked on Sunday morning about the miraculous hedge of angels that was around that remote tribe, that island tribe, and saved the missionary's life. I think God can and does do things today that are beyond nature. I just don't believe that there are people with the gift of performing miracles at will like Moses, like Elijah, like Elisha, like the apostles, because that is what a spiritual gift is, the ability to exercise that gift at will. Here's a definition for the gift of miracles. The sign gift of miracles is the supernatural ability to do miraculous things. The supernatural ability to do miraculous things. Healing sicknesses instantly. Making blind people see. Making the lame to walk. Casting out demons. Speaking in languages that have never been learned. Surviving poisonous snake bites. These are miracles, and in order to authenticate what God was saying to these men, and there were women in the New Testament that had these gifts as well, but to authenticate what was being said, they had the sign gift of miracles, all right? That's exactly what Jesus did. The miracles that he did, he didn't just do them for the sake of doing miracles. He did them to demonstrate who he was and the truth of what he was saying.
Do you believe in the laying on of hands?
Yes. I believe laying on of hands is a way to pray for somebody. I think it's an intimate way to pray for somebody. I don't believe that anybody today has the spiritual gift of laying a hand on someone and curing them at will. I believe that the prayers of the saints do miraculous things in healing people, absolutely, whether we're touching them or not. But
I can attest to that with our young Ryan, with his 10 minutes or so at the bottom of the swimming pool.
Okay, okay.
That was God's
hand. Wow, wow. That was your son, right? No. Oh, that's right. I remember it now. Okay, it was a okay. Okay, I remember that now.
Against all physical laws of being able to sustain life.
When you said the name, the story was coming back. I just didn't make the connection right away. Okay, yep. All right. In connection to miracles is the sign gift of healing. And this is the last one we're going to look at tonight. Again, very closely connected to the miraculous, because healing somebody of an ailment instantly is miraculous. But the sign gift of healing, here's a definition. The sign gift of healing is the supernatural ability to heal a person of an ailment. The supernatural ability to heal a person of an ailment. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional, even a spiritual ailment. As the gift of healing was exercised in the Bible, and that this is very important to note, as the gift of healing was exercised in the Bible, it was always with 100% success. And I'm telling you that to separate what we read in the Bible from what supposedly happens today. Turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, I just want to show you one passage here. Acts chapter 28, and I just want to read you verses 8 and 9. Acts 28, verses 8 and 9. This is just one example of how this gift of healing worked in the Bible. It says, "And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came, and they were healed." 100% success. Everybody that came to Paul to be healed was healed. And as the gift of healing was exercised in the Bible, it was always with 100% success. There was never a mistake or a failure in a healing. And Janine, if you want to get ready, I just have a very short video clip that I want to show you. But when I think of that, the difference between what was happening here in the Bible and what so many others are doing today, faith healers, I immediately think of people like Benny Hinn and Peter Popoff and Robert Tilton. But I want to show you this 30-second video of Robert Tilton failing to heal a man who has a broken collarbone. Now, keep in mind, when the lame and the were healed in the Bible, the pain was gone. They jumped. They ran. They rejoiced. They were back to normal. There was no pain after the healing. You want me to do it? You can go ahead and try it. Just make sure.
What kind of pain are you in? What's wrong with you?
Broken collarbone.
Broken collarbone?
Yes, sir.
How long has it been that way?
A couple of days.
Well, you've already took that thing off your back.
Exactly.
Which one is it?
This one, right here.
Lord, there it is, putting it together right there. Mend this. What kind of pain are you in? What's wrong with you?
Broken collarbone.
Broken collarbone?
Yes, sir.
How long has it been that way?
A couple of days.
Well, you've already took that thing off your back.
Exactly.
Which one is it?
This one, right here.
Lord, there it is, putting it together right there.
All right, hang on. We're going to get it back here.
What kind of pain are you in? What's wrong with you?
Broken collarbone.
Broken collarbone?
Yes, sir.
How long has it been that way?
Pain.
pain are you in? What's wrong with you?
Broken collarbone.
All right.
Broken collarbone?
Yes, sir.
How long has it been that way?
A couple of days.
Well, you've already took that thing off your back.
Exactly.
Which one is it?
This one, right here.
Lord, there it is, putting it together right there. Mend this collarbone together in the name of Jesus. Bones, come together. Now move it around. Start moving it around. Start thanking God. Who else in severe pain? You're in severe... Man, I mean, you're just, what kind of pain are you in?
No, it was the other one. From that point on, it should never be believed.
Well, he had to be a plant.
I don't think he was a plant.
No, it would have been better.
I think he was really there for a reason. And you know, this was humorous to me, okay? But it's sad. Think about truly what that kind of display is doing to the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is sad, and again, the biggest reason there was a humor element to it, I know, but the biggest reason I wanted to show you is here's a man who truly believed that he could be healed, and very sadly, he wasn't.
Maybe he wasn't.
What's that?
Maybe he found another church.
I'm hoping he did. All right. Well, the real sign gift of healing is a supernatural ability to heal a person, actually heal them from an ailment, and it was always 100% successful. Jesus never failed. The apostles never failed, because God never fails. And because these gifts were signs to authenticate new revelation from God, I do not believe that they exist today as spiritual gifts. And that is where we are going to end tonight. But was I clear enough as to the reason? I want you to understand that it's not that I don't believe the gifts never existed. They did. They were very, very real, but they served a very, very important purpose, and that was the authenticating of God's Word. Mark.
What was the verse in Deuteronomy again?
Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22. The whole chapter actually deals with a lot of, well, no, the whole chapter, there's some other things dealt with there as well, but anyway. Any other thoughts or questions? Gloria?
This isn't funny, but I have to ask it. When the lady was stuck to the floor, did anybody really try to help her get up, or was she really...
It doesn't say. I don't think anybody helped her to get up. I think she just couldn't get herself up. That's the way I read it. That's the way I read it. Well, I'm not so. I think the only glue that the Holy Spirit has is the glue that holds us to God. Becky. Yes.
And after that,
right. In fact, we're going to talk, Lord willing, about two more gifts next week. One is the gift of tongues, and the other is the gift of interpretation. But with all of these sign gifts, the further in time you go, the less and less they're spoken of. In fact, you will find them most in the book of Acts, actually being exercised, and our earliest letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans, okay, these were some that they're mentioned, but the later books, you don't even find them mentioned anymore. Jim?
An interesting thing happened to me once. My sister's a charismatic Lutheran. They love the Lord, but went to a Bible study at their church once, and there were maybe 15 people there, and we were gathered around holding hands, and someone started prophesying. my sister asked me after, what did you think about it? I said, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I said, Satan was present. She said, no, you're wrong. 2 years later, she said, you were right.
Wow. What happened that...
He just, I guess, was a demonic person.
Okay, okay.
But I could just sense it.
Right, right. Bonnie?
We saw on TV the other night the Pope was at some ceremony, and they had this object with dried blood, I guess, of somebody. And the Pope kissed it, and it part of it turned to liquid. And that's...
That was a magic. Performed a miracle.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that. I'll have to look that up.
I forget what the ceremony was. We were watching
okay.
it anyway, and I'm thinking...
It was on the news.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I
know that there was some kind of recent, quote-unquote, miracle that happened in the Catholic Church. I didn't get the
okay.
taste of it, but it's to me it's the most recent, you know, buzz.
Yeah, it just happened. It was
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so...
Tom?
I just think the closer we get to the end, Pastor, there would be more and more deceivers. And as the Antichrist comes on the scene, if we're still around when that happens, we need to be really prepared, not only for ourselves, but to encourage one another and our children and our families, that anything that doesn't exalt God, solely exalt God himself, and that it is going to be from the devil. I mean, the devil won't exalt God, but anything other than powerful exaltation of the Father.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think even if the supernatural isn't involved in the so-called exercising of these sign gifts today, even if the supernatural isn't involved, the deceit of Satan is. Yeah.
Joseph Smith fit well in there.
There's a whole list of people that we could talk about. Yep. Jeff.
This Sunday when you're preaching, if we all bust out laughing, just it's not
here. just don't get stuck to the floor, Jeff.
We're being moved.
All right.
Just make sure there's no sticky stuff.
Send him to it. Is this glorifying to God?
Right.
If it's not,
right.
then it's not of God.
Right. All right. Very good. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for our time, and Lord, we thank you for the gifting that you did give that so very clearly and miraculously authenticated your word to us, that we have a completed book here today that we can look to, that is the final authority on all matters of faith and practice. And Lord, we thank you that we can look to it and discern and even expose, because we have the responsibility and obligation to do so, those things that are not from you, and has been said by a number here tonight, that do not glorify you. And Lord, we feel sad for many brothers and sisters in Christ that have truly trusted in you for salvation, but have been deceived by, well, the devil, by themselves, and by others into thinking they have something that they don't, and sadly, it's making them very unusable for you. So, Lord, we pray for them tonight. Just pray, Lord, that you would expose the deceit, that you would bring people to a growing and truthful knowledge of yourself, so that you can readily use them and use them well. Thank you for the gifting that is available to us today. So edifying to the body, so profitable to all. And Lord, you've placed us where we are. You've gifted us in the ways that you've gifted us so that we could be used and every need within the church could be filled. Thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.